Thank you for listening. This is The Road Best Traveled, Episode 3. Tonight's topic is consistency and discipline. My name is Sretan. With me tonight is my buddy Genesis and my buddy Nem. If you guys want to say hi, go ahead.
Hello, hello.
They won't know who's who.
Yo.
Before we talk about tonight's topic, I want to talk about something selfish. And the selfish thing I want to talk about is what I am doing to transform myself. And the newest thing that I'm trying to do is a 30-day challenge. Everybody does a bunch of different things in order to try to get it going and be consistent with the lifestyle change. I am constantly trying these stupid challenges. I've done 3-day fasts. I've done cold exposure therapy. That shit I still do. That's something I actually want to talk about with both of you guys. That's been like a big deal for me, like jumping in ice baths and jumping in Lake Michigan and certain breathing techniques. Like, I haven't talked to you guys about Wim Hof. I'm obsessed with the Wim Hof breathing technique. It's been a big deal for me. But the 30-day challenge, I know Genesis is a little interested. So I'm going to read off what this whole thing entails. And I thought it was just going to be like a quick thing because I got 6 of my buddies to get in on it. And I keep saying buddies. I don't know that many people. So maybe they might get pissed that I keep saying that they're my friends.
did you open and say my buddy Genesis?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. My buddy Genesis and my buddy Nem. I haven't seen Nem in about 12 years. But it counts. We used to play soccer together in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the challenge has 4 parts. It's 30 days. It starts tomorrow. Who cares what the date is? Because you're just listening to what the challenge is. The 4 parts are, the first part is mindfulness training. The second part is working out. The third part is shit you can't eat or drink. And then the fourth part is internet limitations. Hmm. So it's a kind of a reset of the body and the mind.
Okay.
And so I've recently been reading a bunch and listening to a bunch because I'm obsessed with podcasts and YouTube stuff. I'm finding out how important it is to do meditation or any kind of mindfulness training. So part of the challenge is to do a 9 to 10 minute meditation every day, some kind of guided meditation where you sit and just be aware of your present and not worry about anything else but whatever's happening during that time. Now, we're dedicating a certain amount of time to that, even though for a lot of people that are like, you would call them gym rats, or people that are like people that love puzzles or anything like that, it could be considered meditation, because when you're doing the thing, you're actually in the present moment, which is the most important thing. And they say it's excellent for your brain for staving off like dementia in later years. Like, it's supposed to be awesome for you. So part of the challenge is to practice that, because I want to eventually get to like 30 minutes. That's the goal. No more, no less. Just get to 30 minutes. And that'll also entail that Wim Hof breathing technique. Now, one of these days, I'll show you that shit. It's pretty cool. I'll send you the link for his like YouTube video. You don't seem super interested in Wim Hof.
No.
I'll talk about him later.
It sounds too close to Hasselhoff. So you say, what about?
On a side note, we're recording this at Green Door Books in Hobart, and I keep trying to think of after hours events we could do. So we'll have a night where we do art. There's a night where we're gonna have like some writers come in and musicians or whatever. But one night I wanted to do a Hasselhoff themed night.
Night Rider.
See, I do it.
Night Rider, Baywatch.
Yeah.
Whatever your favorite Hasselhoff is, German pop sensation.
Yeah.
So. So that idea got shut down, but whatever, man. So the second part is the working out part. And because most of the people that are part of this challenge don't do any consistent gym work, my challenge for that part is just do something every day. Just do something that as a group we can agree was a workout. So whether that's lifting, running, hiking, walking, yoga, stretching. So I think for 30 days we could do that, like without any kind of break day. You know, some people say like do six days. Take 7th day off or something, but for a month, you know, especially if you count like, if you count a workout, like a Saturday workout was just going for a walk, you don't have to take a break if you're walking, because it's just to get it moving. Then the third part of it is the shit you can't eat or drink. So we're doing no alcohol for 30 days, no fried foods.
Alcohol is easy. Believe it or not, the alcohol one is a lot easier than most people think. Don't go to the liquor store. Don't have it. In your house.
It's very true.
Yeah, right. My friend said, I can't do away with that one. Why not? It was easy for me to get away from it. I just wouldn't go to the liquor store and get it. It wasn't in my house. So I had to make a conscious effort to get it. If I wanted to, yeah. So cut out alcohol is, that wasn't too hard.
I agree 100%.
I agree too. I think for some reason, like I think of the social, like after a couple drinks, everything just feels easier.
It takes the edge off. I mean,
but is that like, is that necessary? Because, I mean, a lot of the people that I hang out with are actually pretty nice. Like, I don't need to, nobody's like aggressive with me, like, take this beer, or we're going to fight. I don't know what it is. I think it's just, now it's a habit. Like, when I do something, I'm like, you know what? And I very, very rarely, like, will be at home and be like, you know what? I'm going to pour myself a glass of whiskey or Hennessy or some shit. Like, I just don't really do that.
I'm saying, wait, beer at home, I can't have it. I move twice. And every time I move, I have people come help me. You came the first time, Stratton.
Twice.
Yeah, twice, yeah. So what I do is I'll buy pizza, I'll buy beer, and every time I move, somebody has bought beer, and each move, the beer from the previous time is still at my house.
Cause that's kind of gross.
I can't, three years. I can't drink beer at home. It just doesn't feel right to be at home and pop open a beer. It feels wrong. And that's just me. But if I'm out, then, you know, keep them coming. I can, you know, drink beer, drink with the best of them, 3-4. It takes the edge off. So I understand. And I always say, you know, a drunk Genesis is way much cooler than just not. It takes the edge off. But I'll also learn Jim Genesis is just as cool as drunk Genesis because it opens me up. So I've kind of replaced that need or that feeling for beer with the gym.
That's something that I actually would like to in the future talk about for a really, really long time is in all cultures, wherever you go in the world, there are, like Nem and I were talking about, like in certain parts of Europe, like he spent a bunch of time in Serbia and in a town called Novi Sad, and the whole city is fitness minded. Everything, the way that the city is built is fitness minded, like the stuff they added in the city. My point being, so in culture, wine, alcohol, beer, whiskey, whatever, it just kind of, like you said, takes the edge off of life. Makes things smoother, easier. People feel more confident, whatever. But I read a really good quote from C.T. Fletcher a couple days ago. And it said, like, it was just a picture of some barbells in the gym. And it said, the most ignored form of therapy is the gym. It's totally true. How often does somebody actually go into the gym or go for a long walk, come back and go, well, that wasn't worth it? Or they break a good sweat if they've been doing it consistently. And they come back and they're like, nah, I'm not going to do that again. That sucked. Or they're in a worse mood or something. Like, you imagine how many times you've been in the worst mood in the world. Everybody around you piss you off. You got a ticket that day. Your heart got broken. Somebody stepped on your foot. Whatever. Who gives a shit? And then you go and knock out a workout in the gym and you feel great. You're easy to talk to. You're pleasant there. But how many times are you guys in the gym, in the middle of a workout, around other people, and there's one or two or three people that are being jerks? Everybody's usually kind of pleasant because all those chemicals that are supposed to get released by your body are being released. You're like in the middle of that good feeling. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Am I talking out of my ass?
No, I agree. I have a whole gym crew. Yesterday, for example, got to the gym around 3:30, maybe right before the evening rush got there. You know, did the treadmill, got loose, worked out. We call it the pump room. The pump room was pretty much empty, and you know, so I kind of dragged ass for a little bit, going through my workout, felt kind of good, did some deadlifts, weight wasn't moving like it was supposed to. Then the evening crew people start coming in, and once they came in, it was showtime. You know, that atmosphere, I just felt that much better being around other people I'm dragging, but they're not. So I'm feeding off of that.
I agree. Whether you're working out in groups or working out solo.
What part of your workout are you least approachable? What part of your workout are you most approachable?
The beginning. When I walk in the gym, I'm just not, I got to get my mind right. So whatever is outside of the gym or whatever I am escaping or whatever is going on outside of the gym, that's still with me when I walk through the door, when I'm in the locker room, and when I first get there, I could walk in, people could say, hey, how's it going? I could throw my hand up. I could just wave. I'm a little bit to myself. But once that first set is in, that first rep, and I get the blood going, then I'm good to go. So I'm approachable. Outside of the gym, you got to deal with life. And that's why you come to the gym. So just life itself will follow you there. And so immediately, if I walk through the door, I may not be feeling the camaraderie or being talked to initially. But even if I am, I'll come around and afterwards, if maybe I just waved at a person and didn't really speak, I'll come back to them and, you know, I won't apologize or nothing like that. They understand, but I'll let them know, like, hey, you know, I'm cool, I'm good. You know, no offense.
I'll be kind of the opposite. Like when I first walk in, that's when you can approach me. I'll be social, all that. Once I load the bar up, I like to be left alone. I just need to concentrate on the lift. That's when I'm probably least approachable. And then after I'm done lifting and working out, then I'm approachable again, I guess you could say.
Do you guys, because I know Nem, you kind of are, and you are too within your gym environment. But you use Genesis. You use Instagram and shit too, right?
Oh yeah,
I'm really social media to share.
Yeah, really.
What I mean Instagram. To say is, would you guys both consider yourselves like ambassadors of this lifestyle? Like where people come in and you're like, this is good for you. This is what you need to do. Or when you meet new people, like not to brag, this is what I do. But it ends up being part of the conversation with you guys. Or I don't know. How would you answer the question? Do you talk about it a lot?
I talk about it all the time. I powerlift. I do powerlifting competitions, as you know by now. And I encourage it. Let me hear somebody talk about powerlifting. I'm all over it. It's a wonderful thing to be part of, to just say I'm a powerlifter, even though, yes. Am I an elite powerlifter? No, but I've done a powerlifting meet. I'm a strong supporter of it. I'm always encouraging somebody, you know what, you should do what? If somebody says, you know what, I'm thinking about doing a meet, guess what? I got you right there. You do one. If you're ever thinking about doing one, do one. It'd be the best thing. There's no way you can walk away from a powerlifting meet and say, you know what, I really didn't like it. No, you're gonna love it because you're competing against yourself. So of this lifestyle, there's nothing else beats it.
Yeah, I'm social media heavy. Everything on there that's like a yes, you can. If I did it, you can too.
Right.
You've seen my Instagram posts. Yeah. Every Tuesday, Transformation Tuesday, I post a before and after picture. You know, fat alcoholic me and new me, I guess, whatever you want to call it.
Do you want to talk about your transformation? You want to talk about it now or you want to talk about it another time?
Whenever you want.
You're pretty much an example of the before and after as far as the fitness business talks. You know how when you think about fitness business, if you're a fat ass or if you're a big person, if you're an unhealthy person, do this thing, this magical thing, and 30, 60, 90 days from now, you'll be ripped and fit and healthy and all that stuff. But you actually, like, if you take a picture of what you look like before and after, you did that, except you did it the right way with no magic, with just consistency and the right proper clean diet and being at the gym and resting. Like, you did what you were supposed to. Now, yes. Do you want to talk about the process or what, sure, what your life was before and not what it's like now?
Yeah, I mean, I'd start off with a fifth of whiskey before we'd go out to the bars. That was just my lifestyle. Like, I remember I couldn't wait to turn 30 because for some reason I thought when people turn 30 that the whole lifestyle stops. Like, you just mature and grow up and stop drinking because I was just waking up with these three-day hangovers and the cigarettes combined with the booze and the no sleeping.
You worked swing shifts too, right, at the mills?
Yes, towards the end of my 20s. You know, everybody that loves their booze loves 311s. I had it timed out perfectly from when I got off of work at 311s to when I got to the bar and had my first shot and Jack and Coke ordered. I just got tired of it.
You went sort of gradually. Didn't you start, I mean, I might be misspeaking, but you started like bike riding first. Or you did something
I was trying
slow.
Yes, in the beginning. Like I lost all my weight through diet alone, pretty much. I started in March 5 years ago, and I started on the diet, and, you know, it was a paleo diet. I bought 3 books. I was reading. I was trying. You know, I'd crash on the weekends, start back up, and then it was like a six-month process. And throughout the months, right after 4 or 5 months, I think it was the end of July or beginning of August, like with the weight loss, I just got an abundance of energy. So I, you know, as I'm Googling paleo, CrossFit keeps on coming up. And I found a CrossFit gym and I signed up and did that for, I think, a couple years. Did my first competition, got addicted, and it just took off, really.
Now you coach occasionally. Yes. You're at the gym a lot.
A lot, yes.
But your mood, your attitude, your brains, would you say that, you yes. know, it's kind of cliche when you say, like, this is the best I've ever felt in my life. This is the healthiest I've ever been. Would you agree with that?
Yes, it's very true. That constant brain fog before don't exist.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, I like to hear stuff like that. Yeah. You know? I know it can be done. I've seen it been done. But to hear somebody else testify to that, I mean, it's kind of refreshing. You know, I tell people at work all the time. You know, I know I've said this a couple of times when I tell people how much I weigh, and then they tell me, man, shit, we weigh the same. And then you look at them, look at me, and they want to know why. You know, you try to tell them why, what they got to do, or they say, you know what, this is the one I hear the most. I can't cut the bread out. I can't leave the bread alone. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. You know?
Correct.
And here yep. you talk, if you can leave the alcohol alone just enough to get yourself where you need to be, where you feel need to be and feel good about yourself. I mean, that's nice to hear, to be like within hands reach of somebody else that has actually done that. And pretty cool because now I get to share your story with somebody else. You know, now that's awesome.
It's a good story. I want to be one of those stories too. but we'll stop talking about me for a second. Actually, we're going to talk more about that stupid list, that challenge. It's cool when you know that somebody else has done it, because a lot of people are in that, you know, this is my 10th time trying this diet. This is my 20th time. There's also this like crazy fear for a lot of people to walk into the gym, just like walk in and they look left, they look right, and they're intimidated.
Very true.
I understand that. That's all understandable. But I don't know. I do feel like one of the key things, and I hate to keep quoting C.T. Fletcher terribly because I'm messing up all his quotes, but I watched a clip of his documentary the other day too, and he was just doing curls. That's it. And his bicep looked like it was going to explode. Looks like somebody put a basketball under his skin.
Yeah, that's his thing. Curling, that's his thing.
And he was yelling at his bicep, but he was like, you want to know how to change? He's like, just fucking move something heavy today. Just fucking move something, anything. Find something to lift and lift something heavy. But it was the thing, like, if you're intimidated to go to the gym or you don't want to do this and that, like you said, with the bread, yes, you can put that beer away. Yes, you can drop all that if you want to. If you don't, then nothing's going to change. And if you're going to keep complaining, cool. It might be a little annoying to everybody around you, mm-hmm. but just move forward. And there's not a secret. You just have to fucking do it.
Yeah. And most of the time when people say, I can't do this, I can't do that, what they're really saying is, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's just the bottom line. They don't want to. They don't want to put that beer away. They don't want to give up that glass of wine at night. They don't want to give up that bread. They just don't want to. They're content.
It is delicious.
Yeah. But which is fine. I'm content with it too. I'm content with you knowing that too. It's just, but if we're going to, talk about it, if you're going to ask me, if you won't suggest or advice, then you know, I'm just going to tell you what you already need to do. And if you can't do it, don't want to, we can talk about something else.
What did I get to on this list? We'll swing back real quick. And then the last thing, which was important to me, was 30 days limited internet and phone use. Nowadays, there seems to be a tension, like a social tension within everybody. People are kind of on edge. And for me, in the way I think, I blame a lot of it on the internet. So the last part of the 30-day challenge is just real limited internet use. Like, I'm going off social media again for the 80th time. I'm so addicted. It's so wonderful. No Google, no none of that. I use Netflix if, like, I'm with somebody. If we're hanging out, we're going to watch a movie. But otherwise, I got to cut off the electronics. The other day, I actually drove out to the dunes to a certain part of the beach. Like, I got lost. My GPS messed up. I was by one of the steel mills. But I found a little space. It was probably Ogden Dunes. And I walked out there, and I left my shoes in the car. I walked out to the beach. I had my short and my shirt on. It was a little cold, but it's that cold thing again. Like, for some reason, cold works for me. Maybe because I'm big and fat, but I like the cold. And I went to the beach, and actually, it was sunny outside, beautiful, everything. And it was like the perfect scenery if you want to be chill and relaxed. Water, beach, and, you know, it's good for your toes and feet. Everything was good. And my brain couldn't shut up. Like, I kept thinking, like, how long can I park my car here? How long can I do this? How long can I do that? So I tried, and I did my little breathing technique. And I was like, when I got done, I was real chill. I was in the moment. But it's weird how I blame my phone, because I'm always touching that thing. I always have to look something up. There's always some new piece of information. That's why I added the fourth thing. There's something I'm missing. I should say more sleep, because I do not sleep enough. And they say that's one of the three key ingredients is to sleep.
That's tough. I wish I get 8 hours.
Sleep is huge. That's when muscles grow.
Try to get 8 hours of sleep.
Yes.
Try. One day, 8 hours.
I need like a month of...
We all do.
I need my
20s back. All of 8 hours. Yeah. If I can take my 20s and how many times working at the Radisson, we used to work, go out, come back and work again. If I could take all the 8 hours I lost then in my 20s, give me those years back. Just to sleep. I want to sleep from all those years back.
Yeah, I try catching up on the weekends. No, I'll be taking like 2-3 naps on Saturdays and Sundays.
How about you do the 30-day challenge and do like a 7-day challenge with 8 hours of sleep? So within those 30 days...
That's a good suggestion.
Try to get 7 days of 8 hours. And then every day, you know, you can set your phone, set your alarm.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Try within those 30 days to get, you know, 7 days. And every day you get seven, just... mark it down. I mean, every day you get one, you know, within those 30 days, mark it down and try to get 7 days of 8 hours sleep within those 30 days.
Damn, I should do that. That's, I mean, for real.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Now we're on to the topic. So I want to talk about consistency and discipline and what that means to both of you guys. I think if there is a secret or there is a most important thing, not just to working out, but almost to everything in the whole world, in life, it's to pick a thing that you're consistent and disciplined at. If you pick something and you're those two things, and what I want to talk about is whether you think they're separate, they're together, they're the same, but it's super important. Because if you go, since we're talking about gym stuff, like I want to talk about all complete lifestyle change and to declutter your life and to make it more basic and simple because it's better for you. If you go to the gym every day for the next 365 days, there's no chance you're not going to be healthier at the end of the year. If you cut out beer or bread or something. And over the next year, there's no way you're going to not be healthier. And that's just consistency. It's not a secret. It's just do the thing. So what does it mean to both of you guys as far as both consistency and discipline? Let's go there first. Are there periods of time where you struggle with it? And what do you guys do to kind of, like, you wake up in the morning, you're like, I don't want to today. Why do you go then? Is it because you've been doing it or the new life is that enticing? Well, I know when I bite into a donut and it's filled with pudding and shit, I'm going to eat another donut because that other one's also filled with pudding.
I don't know how to word it. It's amazing how, I mean, you could have picked two better words, consistency and discipline. You'll be surprised how much those two words intermingle. They feed off each other. They kind of flip-flop. So, for instance, the consistency for me would be going to the gym, all right? So I go, but what if I don't feel like going? The discipline part of the consistency of me going to the gym is that I've learned to listen to my body. So if I work in midnights, I've learned that I can't go to the gym after midnights. I feel like shit. My workouts are shit. The weight doesn't move like I want to. I'm tired. That's bottom line. I'm tired. So when I work midnights, I go home, I get sleep, I wake up, I do everything I got to do around the house. I lounge around, you know, kids, whatever tasks I need to do, whatever is I got to run. And then guess what? At some point throughout the day, I'm not going to say, you know what? It's too late. I'm not going to go to the gym. Even if I got to go back to midnights. So at some point throughout the day, my body is going to kick in the gear and it's going to say, get your ass to the gym. Let's go right now. It may be 5 o'clock. It may be 7 o'clock. It will be somewhere where my body has, you know, I've trained my body to be disciplined to where it's going to say, now's the time to go. So that would be the whole discipline part of it. And that's just how consistency and discipline for me kind of work hand in hand. I think another part of the consistent would be just showing up to the gym, getting there. The discipline part for me also in that aspect would be trusting the process. I can show up to the gym, but once I'm there, I have to be disciplined to trust the process. I have to trust, be disciplined to know, you know, this is my workout for the day. I have to stick to it. Yeah, I may be feeling good, but I've designed my workout to where I have to trust the process. You know, if I'm doing a certain weight for the day, that's what I do for the day. Because at the end of 12 months, then, you know, the workout may call for me to do something else. So I have to trust, have to be disciplined enough not to get ahead of myself. Because I think last time we had the show, I talked about the whole, imagine it taking me 12 months to put 15 pounds on my bench. That's discipline. that's tough. You know, a lot of people do this workout where it's called 5x5s and you lift the same weight 5 times each week and then you go up maybe 5 pounds. So if you do, yeah, five pounds a month?
Yeah, 5 sets of 5.
Yeah, 5 sets of 5.
You go up 5.
So if you add that up, 12 months times 5, that's 70 pounds. Good luck. We're putting 70 pounds on your bench every year. In 4 years, you'll be a beast. That's just, you know, that's where the discipline, you know, comes in.
What would you have to say about the consistency and discipline?
Well, what keeps me driven is all the competitions that are out in Europe that I really care for and where I want to perform and be legit at. So everything that I do is based on those competitions. And I wake up sore, I wake up grouchy, whatever the fuck it is. But, you know, I just think that them guys that I'm competing against, you know, I know most of them. I know how driven they are, and I know they ain't taking fucking days off. That makes me go to the gym. I have to fucking go. A lot of them guys, they either own their own gym, so they don't work. They don't have a fucking job like I do. They don't fucking wake up at 5 a.m. and go fucking put on steel-toed boots and go do some, you know, electrical. They get to work out twice a day. They get to do cardio in the morning and strength at night. I don't have that option. Right. So I can't fuck around. I can't punk out when I get home from work and be like, I'll do it another day. No, that doesn't exist to me. I have to go.
I think a lot of people that try to get into it and they're not at that place. Like you got what I would say, what place you guys are at would be like in the middle of it. But one of the themes of the show is to strive in your life to kind of be in the middle of it, not in the beginning of it. Maybe you have a new workout routine. Maybe this week you're not eating as much fruit and you're not doing that for a couple months. And maybe that means like you're starting that, but you're in the middle of that like fit and healthy and restful and mindful like lifestyle. A lot of people think that they could catch up. Like, I'm gonna just demolish my body over the weekend and then I'll be cool. But we all know, especially now, like I know I'm 39 and I don't know because I didn't drink hard when I was younger. But I know there's certain times where, like, if I do something, if I don't sleep, if I lose a bunch of sleep for a week, I'm not right for a month.
Yeah.
or if I eat real bad, like I need or I booze real hard, like I need a week. I remember a handful of years ago, the first time I drank wine, it was a lot of wine. I couldn't open my eyes all the way for like 5 days.
The worst thing I ever did, about 2 years ago, I went on vacation. It was November. And I said, you know, all this hard work I put in at the gym, I'm on vacation a week. I said, you know what? I'm going to treat myself and I'm going to, you know, a drink. Do I still? Yeah, I drink, but I'm more leisurely, not as much. I don't throw them back. I don't get, you know, wasted at home. But, you know, I have like vodka, orange juice. So my thing was, you know what? I'm going to drink every day for these 7 days. You know, not going to get, you know, twisted or nothing like that. So I did that. The worst mistake ever. I spent a month trying to recover from that. I said I would never do it again. I couldn't even believe I even came up with that idea. I was thinking about it. Took a month for me to reset my whole body from doing it. And yes, I drank every day. I didn't go to bed with no hangover, nothing like that. But the fact that I consumed that alcohol on a daily basis for those 7 days, just my body let me know, like, don't do that again. That was horrible.
Let me ask this, and this doesn't have to do with the topic, so we'll go a little bit off topic, and then we'll kind of close it up. I'm interested in the part that you talked about, Nem, the brain fog stuff. So do you see a difference? And I don't know. I don't think either one of you guys have taken a long break in years. If there's ever a day where you miss a day or two, is there a big difference between the way your brain functions, like how you can problem solve and the way you like conversate, the way that, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, does that fog return? Or is it because you guys have been both consistent for years, it's really not an issue? Like, how would you answer that? Is there ever a day, like, say you skip a day? Because I'm of the belief, like, I get a lot of brain fog. I get a lot of, like, just jumble brain. And also I'm trying to do a lot. And I work a lot and all that stuff. But because I don't eat as healthy as I should, because I don't sleep as much as I should, because I don't go to the gym and lift or even go hiking or whatever as much as I should, I actually blame quite a bit of my, what I would also describe as brain fog or just mental mush. I attribute it to that. Like, if I was doing those things, Mike, they say you'd be a well-oiled machine, so your brain would work a little better. Do you find that happens if you take a day off, or not really, because you guys are pretty, like...
No. I mean, I've taken 3 days off, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sundays, and no, it doesn't come back that quick.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Today was my off day, so I changed things around. So today was my off day from the gym. So this is what I thought about. I thought about how, was it last week, I went in and did my program and how I didn't hit the numbers that I hit. So all day I kept thinking about, you know what, tomorrow when I lift, what time should I go? If I go at this time, will somebody be there to spot? Should I call this person? Should this person, you know, meet me at the gym so I can have a spotter? So I spent my whole off day thinking about tomorrow, thinking about tomorrow's lift. And that's usually, I take split off days for me. So I'll take two off days during the week, but they'll be split. So there's never, I can't do back to back. I would go insane if I took 2 days off, you know, back to back. I wouldn't know what to do. I would be grouchy. And then when I go to the gym and when I'm walking out, I feel like, oh my God, I cannot believe that I felt the way I did before the gym. Like I was literally grouchy like a little kid because, you know what? I needed to get my workout in. I needed to get my fix, you know. But, I mean, that feeling, that's just how powerful that feeling for me for going to the gym is. So far as the mental brain, a day off for me is thinking about the gym. If you ever see the quote or the meme, I think it's one with Arnold and Columbo. And they're sitting on
Franco Columbo.
Yeah, they're sitting on their couch and they, you know, they're talking about it. I'm going to have to bring it up from over. They're talking about, you know, he said something about rest day. What's that muscle? And how can I train it? That's, you know, that's me.
I have a last question. I wanted to do a thing where I wanted to call it consistent excitement, because you guys are in the middle of the process, you know, working out and being healthy. So I wanted to know what keeps you going, like what's the thing this week. But I actually want to change it up, and I will eventually talk about that. But right now, if you could think of something, what was this week one little defeat and one little victory? I'll go first. So my victory was with this challenge. We started doing some stuff on Wednesday, and all I wanted to do on Wednesday was to tell everybody in the group to do 20 push-ups, like nothing else, no more, no less. Even if you do one every hour. That first day, I knocked out 20, and I was super proud of myself. And I did 20 the next day, and yesterday I did 50. It took me a while, and you know, I'm a baby, and my shoulder hurt, but you know, that was my victory. My defeat was last night, I probably drank too much. And there was like no reason for it because I should have just went to bed and rested. I had plenty of work to do, but that was my defeat. And it wasn't like I went out and I got crazy, but I felt terrible today. Yeah, how would you guys answer that?
It's pretty much the same every week. That meal prepping, whether or not I meal prep correctly, and if I had to like hit up, try my best with, if I did not meal prep and I'm on the job site and I had to take lunch and I had to drive off to some fast food and grab some garbage or some, you know, some wraps or try to, you know, do the best I can.
Would you eat a Whopper?
I eat a lot of Whoppers. I just get them bunless. Or I'll go to Wendy's and I'll get a triple, no bun.
I do that at Chick-fil-A. And they still give me the bun. They think I'm kidding.
I'll get that too, yeah.
They still give me the bun. Yeah, like, sometimes they seriously fuck it up. I didn't want the bun. I wasn't joking.
So the meal prep.
Yes.
Eating fast food is kind of a defeat.
Well, kind of. Like, I don't mind, you know, eating a triple, no bun. It's not the end of the world, right? Yeah, but, yeah, you know, it's pricey, right? I could have ate a whole lot healthier if last night I would have just made my own wraps or veggies.
What about a Victory?
A Victory is actually doing the meal prepping.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Go hand in hand.
Yeah.
For me, the thing about powerlifting is, you really don't have to concern yourself with the food too much. Yeah, do I meal prep? I do that. But I'm more about moving the weight. I'm more about the numbers, about how much I can do on this day. So the defeat for me would be on my lifts this week. Everything didn't go the way I planned it to. I let a couple of my heavy lifts bury me, and it was very frustrating because heavyweight is relative to me. You know, what's heavy for me may not be heavy for the next person, but I respect the weight. So, if I'm benching 405, the whole gym may stop. They may look, that's a lot. But if I see this small kid or somebody who's half my size and they're benching, 225, to me, I mean, that's just what they do. That's heavy. Heavy is relative to yourself. So this week, I let the heavyweight, in my opinion, for my standards, for myself, get the best of me. I didn't hit my numbers. And the home gym was watching, and yeah, everybody's saying, that was a good try to get a lift. But I was pissed because I have a program I follow, and I like to hit my numbers. So from a personal standpoint, having those lifts get the best of me, I was kind of shitty. All I could think about, I should have done this. Was I tight enough? How was my, my technique, my positioning? Did I take enough time between, sets to do this or that? Or, maybe I should have worked out later. Did I work too much? So it weighed heavy on me. So, yeah, for me, that was my defeat. Now, as far as victory, I tried something different starting this week. I tried the intermittent fasting, and I did it. This is like my fourth day.
Nice.
And somehow I managed. I mean, going... I did the 16 hours of not eating in an 8-hour window. And that first 16 hours, it was dreadful. Like, for some reason, I was hungrier than I normally was, but I got through it. I found out since I was on midnights, I based it around my schedule. And I went this is the fourth day with actually doing it. And I've noticed, the results instantly. So that was kind of a huge moral victory for me. To follow up a defeat. You always want to follow up a defeat with a victory.
Yeah. I did the other way around. So I'll think of another victory.
Yeah. I was going to tell you that. You can't go with the victory first. You got to go with the defeat.
I drank a lot of water today.
There you go. Flush out all that alcohol.
Is there anything else you guys want to say while I wind it down here real quick?
I'm walking away to show very encouraged from them. Now, like, just hearing his story, I keep thinking about that's awesome. I know I said it, earlier, but yeah, I'm leaving this show, pretty much encouraged. I'm pretty sure anybody else that's listening, if you're not encouraged by his story, then what do we say? You just don't want to be. You just don't want
to
do it.
To everybody listening, good luck. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.
We got your spot.